Thank you very much for coming. It's very heartwarming. And it's very chashev. It's a very, very chashev Shia. You come late at night. Just to review a few things from last week, we saw the beauty of the pasuk Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim, that the Rishonim, they asked that it's not one of the Aseres HaDibros because there's no command in it. And some Rishonim actually count Aseres HaDibros differently. Maral says, no, it is one of the Aseres HaDibros. Hashem doesn't want it to have a command in it, because if there's a command in it, he's only our God if we keep his command. And that Chas V'Shalom of Klal Yisrael doesn't keep his command, they're not his people. And God doesn't want that. God wants an unbreakable bond. So what's the bond made of? The bond is made of Anoichi. It's something Hashem wants. Anoichi means I. Anoichi Hashem Lachar. Hashem has decided that he is going to be our God. So why is he our God? Because he has decided he's going to be our God. Is there a reason? Nothing to do with us. And if God has a reason, he didn't tell us. You know, you ever have an argument with somebody and, you know, your parents, and you want to go out, you know, like late at night and come back, and you're going with your friends, and your parents say no, and you say, well, why not? Well, why are you saying that? Do you really want to know the reason? Is that why you say, why not? why not? Because I really want to know the reason. No. You say that because if they give you the reason, then you could say, oh, because you don't get up early in the morning. I'll get up tomorrow morning. Don't worry, I'm going to get up. It's because I don't know what you're doing over there. I promise, you know, I'll never do anything. It's because you're going to be going to with what's-his-face. He's not coming. You know, once they say the reason, so then you attack the reason. I just remember one of the smartest mothers I ever knew. You know, back in the day, Shanabet was a real battle. Now it's not so much of a battle. It's more, back in the day there was such a thing as, after high school you go to college. And then they made these yeshivas. There was no place for someone to come to Israel at the age of 17, 18. Very few places. Especially not for overachievers. Yeah, the good yeshivas like KBY, Shalavim, you couldn't just go there. The average high school guy could not go there. It was serious. And then, the yeshivas in Israel, they started accepting Bachram for straight out of high school. David was one of the first one of them, OJ. And then it grew. Nevei was in Chadera, Itri, Merkaz, Neyakov. But you come to Israel for a year, you do the year, and you don't lose any college because you get college credits for a year. But 2 years, there were no Malot programs. No way! You know, you're coming back, you're going to college, 4 years of college, 1 year Israel, 3 years of college. No way! So it was a battle. So there's a battle, and the guys are fighting the parents. You know, there's good ways of fighting, and there's less good ways of fighting. And more or less, you know, if somebody really wanted to come back, and this is true of anything, someone... His name is Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld. He's a grandson of Reb Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. He's the Rav of Ramat Aviv in Tel Aviv. Ramat Aviv is a very high-scale neighbor in Tel Aviv. So he's the rabbinate rabbi of Ramat Aviv. Baruch Dayanemus. Anyway, so once the parents say the reasons, there's always a way to overcome the concerns of the parents and to allay their fears that the child is going to starve to death. You work with it. And more about this, a guy wanted to come back, he came back. There's one bacher, I don't know, but he said, what a tire mitzuyan, a masman, a tzaddik, what a good bacher. This is a no yushalayim. His father was happy for him to come back. The father was a surgeon or a doctor, and the father was very into learning. Very bright. But the mother, no way. You're not coming back. So we talked to him. You gotta talk to them. You gotta explain how important it is to you. You have to have a dialogue with your parents. We worked with him. He came back after Pesach. He's not coming back. So what happened? Didn't you talk to your parents about it? He said, I tried. Come in, Yoni.
Hello, Rabbi.
Shalom. Rabbi saved you. He said every time he started talking to his mother about it, she started singing. She'd sing a song. Dream, 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 dream. It's about dreaming on. And she just laughs and she starts singing. And he did not come back because she wouldn't talk about it. She says, you're not coming back, and that's it. So there's nothing to overcome. And every time he tried to talk, she started singing that song again. Now remember, his great uncle was one of the Gedolei Olam. I knew his great uncle who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the Gedolei Olam. He learned in Baranovich by Bochana Wasserman. He was close to the Chazon Ish. And he went to America for his brother's bar mitzvah. And he spoke by the bar mitzvah, the younger brother of this bacher. And he spoke about Nashim b'may zachyan, that women, they're not chayiv in the minatayra. And to be zechah the tchiyas ha-meisim, the Gemara says, there's no tchiyas ha-meisim without the minatayra. There's no entrance. You can't get in. The only way to have tchiyas ha-meisim, the only way to have olam haba is to have a kasher to Torah. Women, they're not chayiv in limud Torah, so where's the kasher l'Torah? And the Gemara says, there's the schar that they wait for the husbands to come home from the Beis Medrash, the schar that they bring the kids to Nekesh Beis Rav, and they bring the kids to Yeshiva. So he said, the women, their schus with chiyas ha-meisim is that they escort the children to Yeshiva, their schus with chiyas ha-meisim is that the husbands are learning. He said, someone that doesn't allow the child to go to Yeshiva doesn't get up with chiyas ha-meisim.
But not
Machayev and Puruvu. They're not Machayev and Puruvu, but if they want Chiyas HaMeisim, this is the way to do it.
So basically, you're indirectly saying that they are
Chiyas HaMeisim. They better have some children, they could have a Keshet HaTayra, but waiting for their husbands to come back. If they want more Chiyas HaMeisim, they'll have children, so they could bring their children to school. That's a good point you're making. That there are many reasons for a woman to have children, even though she's not obligated to, in the midst of Puruvu. She just wouldn't talk about it.
Is there a concept of like supporting Torah for a woman?
Right, so the Rabbi Yechonon answers that he found them a takana min atayra. You could support Tamid HaChachamim. A woman that supports Tamid HaChachamim, but she doesn't have to. She has other ways. The Gemara says in Nama Aretz, it's someone that he has no shaykhs to Torah. So you should support Tamid HaChachamim. A woman doesn't have to. She can get Chiyas HaMeisim by bringing a child to Cheder. Didn't stop it. He did not come back for a second year. Lahavdol.
So she's not getting Tchiyas.
Well, this, the Rav that said it, if you knew him, if you knew who I was talking about, I don't want to mention names, you might figure it out. You definitely would figure it out. They're from the Five Towns. From the details I gave, you won't figure it out once I start giving names. But the Rav that said it, he was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he was Nigla and Nister. When he said something, I'd be very scared.
Really,
I would be very scared. So, there's always tshuva. There's always tshuva. That's what we hope for. Kadosh Baruch Hu, lahavdil, elu v'alvei abdalos, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he's our God because he is our God. Why? Because he's our God. Why? Because he's our God. Is there a reason he doesn't say what it is? Is it because we're so cute and lovable? Is it because we perform your mitzvahs, niyatar? No, there's nothing to do with that. And that's what we talked about. So that's our first Aseres HaDibros. The Yevanim, let's move on. We said that's why it's not shayach shikha. It's not shayach forgetfulness. It's not shayach for Hashem to put Klal Yisrael on the gedder of someone, of a people that you'd forget. The Yevanim didn't understand this. Anybody that understands this would never try and pry Klal Yisrael away from God, because they would realize it's impossible. They didn't understand this. So he said, Kisu akeren asha, right on the horn of an ox, she'en lachem chelev elkei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Why on the horn of an ox? Because the first thing the Bnei Yisrael did when they came out of Mitzrayim was they worshipped the ego. Now there's a significance to being the first thing. For example, what was the first thing Noach did when he came out of the Teva? He planted a vineyard, and then he partook from its fruits, and he took control of him, and many things. The world was never the same. Chazal say that wine is very fine, wine is fine, but you can't beat wheat. Wheat is important. Because you can live without wine, you can't live without wheat. Wheat's important. You can't have bisli without wheat. You can't have chocolate chip cookies without wheat. You need wheat. So you should have planted wheat first, and then wine. If you would have done that, the world would have been a better place. Rashi says that because of that, the 10 tribes split from the 2 tribes. There were 13 tribes actually. If you count Menashe and Ephraim as 2 separate tribes. And thousands of years later, towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when there was still a king, after the reign of King Shlomo, actually it wasn't towards the end, it was towards the beginning of the first Beis HaMikdash. But there was a split in Klal Yisrael, and they seceded from the Union. It was mamash a civil war. 10 tribes separated from 3 tribes. The ones that remained were Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi. Well, because they're all around the Mikdash. The Beis HaMikdash and the Chelak of Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi, they don't have a Chelak. They live by the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi says, the Apostle brings, Ha'ilachem Mizokei Ayayim. Woe to you who have containers of wine. So Rashi brings this Medrash that since Noah planted a grapevine which made wine, and he drank from wine and overpowered him, so therefore the 10 tribes, wine is also mentioned by the 10 tribes, they split. My Rebbe have a gift to the Sichel of Racha. He said, what is the connection between Noach planting grapes and the 10 tribes splitting? It's thousands of years apart. There's no direct connection. He didn't go into detail, but he said one insight. When you build a building, you build a foundation, the yisoid. You build the foundation first. And you put the most effort into the foundation, laying the foundation. Because that's the stability of the building. If the foundation is not stable, if there's a crack, if there's a fault in the foundation, so then the higher and more powerful the building is, the more chances are that it's going to fall down. If you have a strong foundation and it's built and engineered in order to hold X amount of floors, so then it's stabilized. The more weight you put on it, the more stabilized it is. One little flaw, one little crack could cause the entire building to come down because of the foundation. That's why they put so much effort in the foundation. Kiyadua, before building a building, if there's an old building there, they have to totally wreck it, demolish it, remove all vestiges of the former building. You can't have an uneven surface. You can't have anything that's not rock hard solid. The amount of time they put into clearing the foundation for the World Trade Center before they started building was years. So when Noah came out of the Teva, the world was being given a second chance. He was building the world again. Adam HaRishon built it the first time, and Noah built it the second time. The first thing you do when you come out of that Teva is something integral, something vital, something important, then everything that comes afterwards is going to be part of that. And the things that are found in the world, the entities in the world, anything that's added onto it will add to the stability of the world. The world will be a stable place because it started out with stability, and then you build on it layers and layers and layers. There's layers of civilization that are built on it. You started out stable. But he planted wine. Wine is not something... Wine is a luxury. Wine is once you've made it. So the wine allows you to go further. Right. You can do it. You know, if you try and accomplish, you try and build yourself with wine, the wine's going to distract you. It'll make it impossible. After learning stock for 6 months, winter's month, and you've made it to a certain plateau, and you've already built yourself solid, so then on Purim, you take the wine, it takes you higher. You can't base yourself, you can't build yourself on wine. You have to build yourself on wheat.
Why did Noah think he was already finished?
This is something which happens over and over and over again, that Adam HaRishon tried to reach worlds that would make him into a bigger person by drinking wine, and he failed, and Noach believed that he could make the same attempt, drink wine, and go to places he never was before, and still stay in control. That would be Misak and Nechet of Adam HaRishon. So he went for the big one, the big game, the Powerball lottery. And he wasn't just doing a $50 scratch off. He went for the $213 million lottery. He went for it. That was his cheshbon, but the Maisa, he was wrong. The Yevanim made a mistake because they thought the Klal Yisrael did the same thing. The first thing that came out of Mitzrayim, what defines them as a people? What is the national identity of the Jewish people? The first thing they did as a nation. What's the first thing they did as a nation? They made the eagle. Miyad shahaytze yisam Mitzrayim.
Why can you say they made matzah?
The matzah that they made when they left Mitzrayim was not matzah's mitzvah. That was food for the way.
They brought karbanos as the first thing they did.
Yes, they did. They brought karbanos and they brought mekabel tayr also. I mean, once you're asking, they mekabel tayr, and the tayr to that is, kabbalas tayr was something they did, but they didn't do it totally on their own.
Also, kabbalas tayr was also another form of rebirth.
Hashem told, correct? Oh, she's saying
right
that.
After they did something.
You're
else.
Saying that, yeah. You're saying good.
They brought
kabbalas tayr was part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The entire Yetzias Mitzrayim culminated in Kabbalas HaTorah. So the first thing they did after Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Egel, because Kabbalas HaTorah is part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when Klal Yisrael became a nation. So anything they did before they became a nation is not Klal Yisrael doing it. The first thing as a nation was the Egel. That means that defines Klal Yisrael. What defines Klal Yisrael? Betrayal. Bogid. Betrayal. And they are proclaiming that they have no chelek in the God of Israel. because only someone that could betray God right after he took them out could do that. It's an act of betrayal. It's the ultimate act of betrayal. And they're breaking away. Because the first thing you do is the essence. You're setting the pace for everything that comes afterwards. That's why they were told to engrave it on the Keren Asher. Ross has another anapkis into the Keren Asher because there's other parts of Asher they could have written it on. They could have branded the Asher. Because sometimes people brand their horses or their oxen with the OK Corral. You have a branding iron with an OK on it, and you put it in the fire, and then you brand the. So the Yevanim could have decreed that the Bnei Yisrael should brand it. Why the Karen? Why of all things the Karen? So because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw the Bnei Yisrael do the Chet Egel, he says, "Ra'isi es ha'am hazeh, I saw this people, this nation, v'nei am kishei orifu. They're stiff-necked people." So Kadosh Baruch Hu attributed the chet to being stubborn, to being stiff-necked.
How?
Aaron told them to wait. He said, "No, we're not waiting. Do something now." I say, "Lanu Elohim." They wouldn't give in. There was no leeway. You know, with all their desire to create some kind of leader for them, but if they wouldn't have been so unbending and so unyielding, they could have been saved from this aveira. They asked Hur to make an eagle for them, and Hur refused, and they killed him. And then they turned to Aaron, and they said, "Make an eagle for us." And Aaron knew if he wouldn't do it, they would kill him. He did not want them to. He wasn't afraid of dying. Aaron was not afraid of dying. He was afraid of the Bnei Yisrael killing him. Because if they kill him, then they are going to have his blood on their hands.
Isn't that one of the three others you need to die?
Yeah, so he did this anyway. But I'm saying there's other ways of answering your question. Okay, and we'll talk about some of them. But the initial response to what you're asking is that Aaron didn't care about himself personally. Bnei Yisrael cannot kill him. Whatever consequences, he's going to suffer for building the eagle and not letting him kill him. He's willing to suffer, and he's taking it upon himself. The Bnei Yisrael cannot kill him. Now, you're asking, if it's Mamash Avodah Zarah, he told them, Chag L'Hashem Machar. So even though he was bending to their will, he was building a graven image, which is not mutter, according to the accounts. But he was doing it. You know, he was doing it in a way, in the cheshbon of Anashim Gedalim by Bikhatayim, way beyond us. But you just see a simon. He said Chag L'Hashem Machar. So you see that it's a holiday for our God tomorrow. You see that he was trying to the best of his ability, to the utmost of his ability, it should not be Avodah Zarah. So it wasn't straight out of Avodah Zarah. But the Maaseh, he knew that it might not be straight out of Avodah Zarah, but it has a tinge of Avodah Zarah, and there's going to be consequences. There were consequences. He lost two children because of it. Nadav and Avihu died because of the Chet Ha'egel. And he didn't have Charata. He saved them in Israel. But if they wouldn't have been so stiff-necked, he wouldn't have had to do it. It was only a matter of hours. He knew Moshe was coming. Aaron knew Moshe was coming. Yeshua knew Moshe was coming. Yeshua's on the mountain. He's waiting for Moshe. He's coming. And the Bnei Yisrael are Am Kshei Erev. Am Kshei Erev is a bad midah sometimes. I mean, Hashem gave us this midah to be used with Taiva. We're very stubborn people, and we're still around because of that midah. But by the Chet Egel, it was abused. They took a midah, which was meant to ensure our survival, and they used it for the wrong thing. And that's the Shemesh. You know, this is a very important. This is a very important limud. Nobody's perfect, and we all have things that we're ashamed of, and things we wish we hadn't done, and we know that there's probably going to be more of them. So we're not going to be perfect in Elam Haza. How do we better ourselves? How do we ensure we're going to make the right decisions? And the side is, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to let someone help you out, if you're willing to accept someone over yourself, then there's hope. The Midavam Kshay Erev is not meant to be used in such a manner. If you're willing to be listened, so then you, let's say some, I don't mean you, I mean us. The great we-hood. The we-hood. We're willing to, going down a pathway which isn't good for us, and we have good friends, or rebbeim, or acquaintances that care about us and point it out. If you're willing to listen, you can be helped. What's the lot, the fate of the Ben Sarah Meir? You kill him, you stone a Ben Sarah Meir, the rebellious son. Even though the things that he's done are not Isurim. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. And Chazal say, because someone that's a glutton, a drunkard, will eventually, he's money hungry, he's going to need it, and for his money fix, because he has to buy his booze, and booze encompasses a lot of things, he's going to eventually, run out of money, he's going to have to steal, people aren't going to want to give him the money, he's going to kill people, so you might as well kill him now, innocent, he's an innocent child, he's 13 years old, rather than allow him to grow to adulthood, and he'll be a murderer. Better than he should die innocent. So why are you so sure this is going to happen to him? The parents bring the son to Beis Din, and they say, he's a rebellious son, he's a drunkard, he's a glutton, and he doesn't listen to us. If someone is not willing to listen, he will be a murderer. Had Klai Yisrael engrave the words Ein Lachem Chelek Melakei Yisrael on the hardest part of the animal. The hardest part of the animal was the horn, because they wanted to make an impression on the Bnei Yisrael that you are a stiff-necked people. That's why you engrave it on the stiffest part of the animal, and this identifies you. This is what you are, and this is your national culture, and you did it because of your bad midas. You broke away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So forget it. You're not special. We're going to learn that that's the Hisnagdus. Every nation opposes Klal Yisrael in a different way. And Yavon opposes Klal Yisrael is that you are not better than me. That's how they oppose Klal Yisrael. We are not going to tolerate a world where a Jew believes that he's better than us. Right. So Mimele can understand the Xeris, the Yavon, and Klal Yisrael, the Xeris against Torah, Limud HaTorah. Bavel never made a Xeris against Klal Yisrael, Limud HaTorah. Parsim Madai never made a Xeris and Klal Yisrael, again, like the Pashim Shat. They wanted to kill them, they didn't want to stop them from learning. Go ahead, learn. You have 11 months left, 12 months, go learn. Enjoy life. Go learn. Pick a Masechta you can finish, because you're going to die in 12 months. Don't pick Baba Basra. Pick Titus. Do a short one.
You're going to die in 12 months.
Finish something.
186
plots. 175 plots.
You only got
12 months. Okay,
176
plots.
176
plots. Take your time. But Yavon, they were quite willing to let the Jews live, just no Torah, because they opposed Klal Yisrael. That you're not better. We're going to go into that more in Mitzvah next time. But Rabbi Ramesha Shlita, Ramesha Shapiro, he had a kasha Al Hanukkah, he gave a shmuz on Hanukkah in his yeshiva. I was zeiket to be in his yeshiva for half a year. He had an American yeshiva for a few years, and I was in the yeshiva. You know, the last 6 months of the yeshiva, I was there the last year of this yeshiva before it closed down.
It was
an American yeshiva. There was a kollel. What?
How in what capacity were you there?
I was learning there. Hanukkah was a. You know, say I was in the kollel. I was there. It was my last tkufa in kollel. When I left there, that's when I started teaching full time. That was my last tkufa in kollel. It was about 16 years ago. Maybe 16 years ago.
It's when you learned with Rabbi G.
No, I learned with Rabbi G before. That was, we were learning in a base medrash in Harnof. We were learning in a kollel, but we weren't learning the same things as the kollel. But this was real. I went back into kollel afterwards. Rabbi G was teaching in the morning. I went mamash, had a chavrusa, I went to shir. I was Gan Eden.
You were chavrusa, Rabbi G?
Many, many different times I was chavrusas with him. Different topics, different times of the day, different days of the week. So Ramesh had a kasha. The Yevanim wanted Klai Yisrael to inscribe on the horn of the ox, She'ein lachem chelek v'elkei Yisrael. You have no portion in the God of Israel. He said that's a self-contradiction. Because they're admitting, they're conceding the point that there is such a thing as a God of Israel. And they're saying that you have no portion in the God of Israel. How could Klal Yisrael believe that they have no portion in the God of Israel if there is a God of Israel? If there's a God of Israel, then they have a portion in him. And if they don't have a portion in him, then he's not the God of Israel. He's the God of the whole world. And they said they should have told them to write, to inscribe on the Karen that you have no special relationship with God. Why would they tell him to write, you have no special relationship with the God of Israel? And he answered, his mom is this side. He answered, that there's two ksharim, there's two bonds with God. There's one kesher that God chooses Klal Yisrael. Like we said, mamish, like we said, no reason, no particular reason, or no revealed reason. It's not a reason that we could deal with. It's not a reason that you could counter. It's not a reason. God wants Klal Yisrael to be his nation. And the Yevanim knew that God wants, what God wants, he gets. God wants to be Elokei Yisrael, so then God is the Elokei Yisrael. And that's going to be, no matter what they believe, no matter what they want, no matter what they try and do, they know, they were smart enough to know they can't tell God what to do. But then there's a second way of connecting. Do you connect because of a bris? You connect because you're blood brothers. You know how they made bris in those days? And they, you know, one party makes a cut and blood flows. Hopefully not a fatal cut. Sort of defeats the purpose if it's fatal. And then the other party makes a cut, and they put their arms together, and the blood of both of them flows into each other, and the blood brothers, and they're bonding. So your life is my life. As long as you're alive, I'm alive. As long as I'm alive, you're alive. And we can't be independent from each other. And that's something which is manufactured, it's created, because before the bris it didn't exist. And after the bris does exist, and that's a commitment that both sides make, that they make, I make to you and you make to me, I'm going to be truthful to you, you're going to be truthful to me. And I'm not complete without you, and you're not complete without me. That's a connection on a totally different level. God wants to have a bond with the people. That's something that they can't take any measure. There's nothing to do about that. God has his reasons. God has his wants. There's nothing to do about it. But that there should be an agreement between two parties. An agreement to be as one. So he said that the Jews broke the agreement. Once the Jew, you know, if you have an agreement with someone, the word blood brother, United States, Israel, United States and Egypt, they have these treaties. We're there for you. We're committed to your security. I'll convey to anybody the things you can rely on. Anyone is, and certainly not the United States of America. So if you make an agreement, a bris, if someone attacks you, I'll come to your aid. If someone attacks me, you come to my aid. Just as if we're one oneness, we're one unity. And then someone attacks one party and the other party doesn't come to their aid. It's broken. The bris is broken. And then if the other party's attacked, they don't have to come. You didn't come to me, I'm not going to come to you. It's broken. It's over. So the Yevanim were saying, Kisu lachem al keren ha'shar, you should inscribe on the hardest part of the animal, the keren ha'shar, she'en lachem chelek b'elkei Yisrael, that you don't have a portion in it. You might be connected to God, but it has nothing to do with you. Because anything that had to do with you, you broke. You broke it.
So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Is it my nafkamina?
My nafkamina? Is it anything in the connection they have with Kadosh Baruch Hu is not because anything the Jews have or they accomplished.
What would that accomplish to the further you want?
Oh, it would break the Jews. They're trying to break the Jews.
Why would they break them?
Because as long
Hashem
as...
Hashem chose me. I don't care why. Yeah. I'm not
doing
the right thing.
There's
right
one
now,
thing very
me.
Dangerous about this, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's one thing very dangerous about it. Mm-hmm. If you have a bris, as long as you keep the bris, and Hashem keeps his bris, so there's like a certain guarantee. If you're Hashem, because Hashem wants you, so the same way Hashem wants you, Hashem could not want you. It's like every moment, the rutzen's in Scottish. Every moment the rutzen's in Scottish. Because Baruch had a rutzen to create the Bria. There's nothing forcing him to do it. There's nothing prodding him to do it. It was pure rutzen. He wanted to. He didn't have to.
He doesn't change his rut.
Well, we don't really know. You know, I don't even know how you could say that. Hashem changes, doesn't change. He wants it as long as he wants it. He has it. If he doesn't want it, he won't want it. We don't have that kind of access. We say in Shmoneh Esrei, just to, you know, to answer your question, in Maidim, today I have to tell you where it is now because there might be people. Today we asked a group of young budding Talmidei Chachamim, where does it say in davening Yechanan Kain Gadol? I said we say it minimum 25 times a year. So do you know where do we say it? Minimum 25 times a year. We say Yechanan Kain Gadol. Where is that?
The real minimum?
25 is the beer bottles minimum, and it can be much more than 25 times.
It's possible to do it 25 times.
No, you don't. Everyone does it. If you do what you're supposed to do it, you say it 25 times a year, and 10 times more than that. 12 times more than that, yeah. Yechanan Kain Gadol. Anyway, so Kitza, we say 3 times a day. Sometimes 4 times a day. We say Atav kila cholerachamacha v'armachem kila samacha sedacha. We say it in Maidim. It's the third to last bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. What is it? What do we say? Yechid and Kohen Gadol.
Oh.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. No, like my great uncle, my wife's great uncle was Shaka Fava Mendelowitz. Shaka Fava Mendelowitz was a Talmud he was a proponent of learning Zechor Yemei Shailam. Do you have to learn from the Avos? Do you have to learn? Do you have to know? There's no history. He was very, very, very much into it. He promoted it, and he didn't tolerate an ignorance of history. And in a shiur once, someone asked him if Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai was. Whether he lived in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash. And he said, you ask me a question, I want to ask you a question first. First you tell me which came first, the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash. If you know that, then I'll answer you. You probably don't even know that. Do you know which came first, the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash?
You're actually asking me.
Do you know when Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai lived? First one or first. Second one?
Lived during the first one.
Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai. What?
After the second, it's worth a shot.
Naftali, you're the only one's in
right
answer.
By the end of the first.
I'm going to be shy for today.
No, you have to say it. So far, no one said the right answer. You just can get the right.
In between them.
It's at the end of the second.
Oh, yes.
Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai was a Tana. So it's a Naim. He lived at the time when the second Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, and then he lived another 80 years afterwards. He died when he was 120 years old.
He wasn't at the end, like the very tail end of the first?
The tail end of the first was Yirmiyahu on Navi.
Alright.
Who's in the story about...
Tail end of the second.
With the fox and running through
that. That's the second Beis HaMikdash.
It's Papas Ben Yehuda.
Oh, that's the second?
That's Papas Ben Yehuda, and that's around the right time. That's 70 years after the second.
Yeah,
that's
so I thought that was the first because you're saying the next one's going to be rebuilt.
Anyway, so we said, Taib ki l'chal racham echa. V'am rachem ki l'sam echa sadecha. We say it a lot. Do we know what it means? Hataiv, you're good. Ki l'chal racham echa, you're rachem. It doesn't end. V'am rachem. And Yemarachim, Kilisama Chasadach, because your Chasad doesn't end. We're mixing metaphor. First, we're talking about you're good because your Rachman doesn't end, and your Arachim because your Chasad doesn't end. What are we saying? What are we saying, you know? Just say, we're thanking you for your Chasad, and we're thanking you for your Rachman. Say, Maidim Anachal Loch,
because every time we do tshuva, we mess it up again.
Okay, so you said a good point. Hatayv ki lechol rachamecha. You're good because your rachman doesn't stop, and you're rachim because your chesed doesn't stop. Wouldn't you say it's the other way around? You're rachim because your rachman doesn't stop. So we're mixing metaphors. Hatayv is chesed also. Midas. Tuva is Midas Kaste. Taiv is Chesed. So Taiv means you are a Baal Chesed. Kilechol Rachamecha because your Rachamim doesn't stop. But Merachim is you're a Baal Rachamim kilechol Chesedecha because your Chesed doesn't stop.
Doesn't Tov mean like Torah?
Tov is Chesed.
It's like Nar?
Yeah, Tov is Chesed. Midas Tuvcha. Laharis is Chastecha. Tov is chesed. Do you understand the kasha? We should say a tov kile samu chasadacha v'amrachem kile chol rachamecha. Match them up. So Princess Aaron? So Merebra Moshe Shlita, there's two midas. One is midas chesed and one is midas rachem. And they both have their milas and they both have the parts of them that are less mindless, that there's consequences. Midas HaChesed is the Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashpia Taiv Hashem pours forth His goodness on this world because He wants it, not because we deserve it, because He wants it. What's the advantage of that midah? It means whether we deserve it or not. If He wants to, He'll give it to us. Why? Because He wants. And that's mamash the midah of chesed. Chesed is pure, unadulterated chesed. You do it because you want to, not because you get something out of it, not because the guy deserves it. You do it! That's chesed. Because Baruch Hu created the world with chesed. Olam chesed yibana. Because you can't say that Hashem created the world because the world deserved to be created. How does something deserve to be created? If it wasn't there yet, it can't deserve to be created. You can't say Hashem created the world because He had compassion on the world. It wasn't there yet. Hashem made the world out of pure chesed. So that's a fantastic mile. What's the chesaron? If Hashem decides He doesn't want it anymore, the same way He's turned it on, He could turn it off. There's a midas harachamim. Midas harachamim is only once you have a bria, once you have a creation. You see somebody lying in the dirt. They're misfortunate. He's unfortunate circumstances. He's suffering from misfortune. There's a cup there, you know. Give me some money for soup. You feel bad for him. You put a dollar in there for soup. So that's not pure unadulterated chesed. There is a pre-existing siba, a pre-existing cause that's urging you to do it. And you're doing it because of a reason. What's the mile of such a thing? The mile of such a thing is as long as you're unfortunate. As long as you're unfortunate, as long as you need it, as long as you're needy and you're without it and you're in the dust, so there's a cause why Hashem should give you. So even if Hashem would not want, Hashem would give you anyway. Because you deserve it, you need it. You're a poor guy, what's the concern? The concern is that there's a limit. It's only based on what your circumstances are. It's based on something. You give a guy a dollar, you won't give him $5. You give him today, you won't give him tomorrow. There's a limit. Something that's based on something. As long as it's there, you get. It's not there, you don't get. Shem combines these two meters together, and they work on each other. Rachmanis has a limit to it. Chesed doesn't have a limit. Rachmanis will keep going as long as there's a need. Chesed, if Hashem decides not to, will stop. So that's why Hashem has both midas. Hatayv, ki l'chal racham racha. That when the midah Rachmanis comes to a point, enough Rachmanis! Enough! You know, I had Rachmanis for a reason, but that's it, enough! There's a limit to how much Rachmanis you can have, even if there is a reason. Enough, I'm not going to spend my whole day, I'm not going to spend my whole life with you. Yes, you deserve something. Yes, you need something. Yes, I'll give you something. But enough, there's a limit. That's the midah Rachmanis, and the midah Rachmanis wants to quit. The midah of Taiv comes along and says, no, there's a midah called Taiv, it's chesed. As long as Hashem wants to do chesed, there's never enough, there's no measure. The amount of chesed is as much as Hashem wants. It's not dependent on factors. If it's not dependent on factors, it's limitless. Hashem wants it, it keeps going. The only thing that could stop it is because Hashem doesn't want. So it doesn't stop because Hashem... It doesn't stop. Midah chesed never stops because it's not enough. Midah chesed stops because Hashem doesn't want. So the midah chesed causes the midah rachamim. When it runs out of rachamim, you don't deserve more rachamim. You deserve a dollar. You don't deserve $5. You don't deserve tomorrow. Every single day, go out and get a job. Enough rachmanis. I got you back on your feet. Now get up and work. You're not hungry anymore. Your belly's full. Get a job. Enough. The midah chesed says, no, it's never enough. Pure unadulterated chesed. But the midah chesed also, as long as Hashem wants, then we get chesed. If Hashem doesn't want anymore, just like that, for no apparent reason, Hashem stops it. The same Hashem gave us the chesed without us knowing the reason, without us deserving it, Hashem could stop it without us deserving it. So midah chesed has its drawbacks. When that happens, the midah rachamim comes along and says, no, you can't stop! They're unfortunate, they need you! You can't shut it off, you can't stop! So the midah rachamim is mashpia, and the midah chesed, the Hashem, should not decide to stop, and the midah chesed is mashpia, and the midah rachamim, the Hashem shouldn't run out of achmanus. Now listen to the words again, and we'll savor the beauty of these words. Hatayv, hatayv means you're about chesed. Kichol rachamecha. And because you're Baal Chesed, the Rachamim never runs out. Cholu means a lashon of ending. Vayichulu. So the Rachamim never runs out because that's the danger that the Rachamim has a limit. It's limited. It'll run out. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a midah of Chesed, the midah of Chesed mashpia, ki leichol rachamecha, the Rachamim will run out. Vamarachim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a midah of Rachmanas, ki leichol chesedecha. Sama means that the Chesed won't stop. By chesed, we're afraid it's going to stop. By rachman, we're afraid it's going to run out. You see the different verbs? So the midah chesed ensures that rachman won't run out, and the midah rachman ensures that the midah chesed won't stop. Atoyim ki leichol rachamecha, v'amarachim ki leisamu chesedecha. So the Yevanim wanted to break. He wanted to break Klal Yisrael. He wanted to break Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael says, we can't tell the Baruch Hu what to do. But you could possibly think that you have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he does for you and you do for him. You broke that. Forget it. And if they convince the Bnei Yisrael, if they succeed in convincing the Bnei Yisrael, then they've won a great victory. So the Tzachar Keneged Yavam, because no matter where we've gone, no matter how far we've gone, we always have a connection, because our connection is not dependent on us being good boys. It's not dependent on anything. Our connection is dependent on Hashem wanting us. In the end, that's what counts. Okay. Next we'll talk about Edayim.